You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I took a spin class today out in this beautiful sun and with you for the next 3 hours here on 98.7 ESPN. Ty is working the show back in New York City, holding down the fort. Kyrie's working the show as well. He'll be answering the calls. 800-919-3776 is the phone number. That's how you want to get on board. We'd love to hear from you. Got a fun show lined up for you. Obviously, a lot of NFL talk because that's really, you know, a lot of the latest news. I love how stuff is worked out pretty much in the 11th hour. And you could kind of say that regarding what's going on with the NFL and NFLPA. Finally coming to an agreement with a number of things. And probably the biggest that was on the table, besides the money, if and so a player decides to opt out or, does he get a accrued year or if the season is shut down, what's the stipend, all that. Probably the biggest topic in regards to negotiations is COVID-19 going to be considered a football injury? And they agreed that it is and will be considered a football injury if a player tests negative and when they enter camp. Okay, so let's marinate in that for a minute. And that's really, really important. Because, and what we know right now in how that process is going to happen, let's say a player shows up today, because I know a number of the rookies have already showed up for camps, okay? So let's say a veteran shows up today, he walks in, he gets a swab test, and then he goes home, or he goes to his hotel. Another thing that was negotiated is that if you are a player and you have a wife or a significant other that is compromised and you don't want to, you know, do the be at camp and then go home, teams are required to lodge you in a certain hotel, which is big as well. But so what we know the process is, player shows up, gets a swab test, goes home, waits for a negative test, comes back and does the online Zoom meetings, participates in that from afar, comes back, it's a second test done, that test comes back negative, boom, then we're looking at like the fifth day. Players then can come into the facility and interacting with others and doing what's necessary. Now here's where it really gets interesting. A team can combat the COVID being classified as a football injury if they can prove there was irresponsibility on the part of the player. I know. So, you know, so how is that going to be proven? I'm really curious. Are players going to have to walk around with any type of tracking device, contact tracing? We know the PGA players do it. The NBA players are doing it. Will the NFL make NFL players do it? Good friend of mine, one of the best agents in the business, David Cantor, is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes. He's the one who has been so fantastic through all of this. He sits in on all the Zoom calls and Zoom meetings, and he immediately sends me notes from the meetings that I'm able to use on the show and, of course, relay and communicate with you. So I so appreciate that. So I'm really excited to have him on the show. I've got many, 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 many questions because I think that's, you know, a team can combat. And keep in mind, I mean, this is pretty big. You know, this was one of the biggest topics, biggest issues on the negotiating table for the players and the owners, the NFL and the NFLPA. You know, players felt like keep in mind, a lot of times you've got a dude who's under contract and that contract isn't fully guaranteed in regard to his salary, his base salary for that year, unless he suits up and plays game one of the regular season. Well, you know, what if a player shows up to camp, is healthy, but contracts COVID-19 at some point in time during training camp, and then what? God forbid it's somewhat serious. and that player has some issues where maybe he can never play again in the NFL. Then what? Dudes need to be taken care of. So this is to confirm that and to reassure the players that that can happen. But this little clause, a team can combat that if they prove that that player was irresponsible. And what do we mean by irresponsible, right? We mean, you know, attending a party without a mask, going anywhere without a mask. I don't know, maybe going to a movie theater, maybe going bowling, whatever. I mean, and these are things that I'm going to ask David Cantor when he's on the show. So I'm excited to get him on the show. And there's other things that I'll get into with you. I want to imagine that everybody is interested in this because I think it's important and relative in regard to how the season potentially is going to play out. By the way, as always, I do like to preface by saying I am broadcasting from the living room of my apartment. So on occasion, you will hear a dog or two or three or maybe five. And of course, Sookie is barking right now because maybe somebody is walking outside in the hallway. 800-919-3776. Connor Rogers is going to be joining us in our second hour. He covers both the Giants and the Jets, but I do want to talk to him in regard to what's going on with the Jets, and I want to hear from Jets fans as well. Boy, drama taking place. And let's be honest, though. I don't think, and I'm talking about Jamal Adams and things that he has said in the last 24 to 48 hours about Adam Gase. But here's the thing. Does it surprise you in regard to what Jamal Adams had to say? It did not for me. I just assumed this is the way that Jamal Adams felt anyway. And we've had Connor Rogers on the show before. He has shared with us what some of the folks who wear the suits and work in the front office of the Jets think about Jamal Adams and their question in regard to, you know, does his heart bleed green? Does he really want to be a Jet? Does he really want to be here? And not sure if that's the case. You've heard other players around the league talk about Adam Gase and questioning whether or not, you know, he's a great leader of men. And we heard, and if you're just tuning in, maybe you're not aware, Jamal Adams came out and said that Adam Gase was not the right leader. Doesn't have relationships with everyone within the building. On top of that, he said when the team is not playing well, at the half, Adam Gase doesn't even address the team. He lets the coordinators, he lets the coaches address the team. He doesn't even address the team. So a number of issues for Jamal Adams when it comes to the Jets. Beyond, of course, Wednesday, I was in for Chris Carlin, and we got into the Woody Johnson comments that allegedly he made. I know we need to clarify that. Nothing's been proven yet. An investigation is going on. You know, not great comments, racist, and not great comments in regard to gender, as he's the ambassador of the UK. So Jamal Adams not came out on social media on Wednesday, bashing the owner, not happy with those reports of what allegedly was said with Woody Johnson, and then came out and really throwing his head coach under the bus. So obviously not a good look for Jamal Adams. Keep in mind, dude is expected to make $3.6 million this year. $9.9 million in 2021. Granted, the big storyline here as well is that he's looking for a new deal. He wants a new deal. He wants to get paid. He wants his money. Now, typically, it's a little early to pay a player in regard to his time frame. Third year, you just don't do it. You know, this is the benefit of an organization drafting well. You get to utilize players and their ability and their talents and for rookie money. You know, fifth year option, sixth year option, you get to tag. This is what has been constructed so that you can pay a player next to nothing. I mean, let's be honest. Is Jamal Adams Is he worthy of making more than $3.6 million? Heck yeah. One would argue he's top five defensive player in the NFL. Nobody's denying that. You know, but be careful what you bargain for. You know, collective bargaining agreement, not this one, the previous one, rookies were making a ton of money. Rookies were making more money than vets before they stepped foot on a football field. Veteran players said, no, that's got to change. And it did. It did. It did to benefit the veteran players in free agency. And it did to, as well, benefit teams that could, that draft well. And again, I'm not sitting here saying that Jamal Adams isn't worthy. But dude wants more money. He doesn't like it here in New York. It's obvious that he has no respect for Adam Gase. Chances are, based on the reports of what allegedly was said by Woody Johnson, has no respect for ownership and wants out. But here's where it gets bad. And this is why another thing I'm going to tee up for David Cantor. Okay? This doesn't bode well for the Jets or Jamal Adams, because what happens now? All the other 31 teams in the league, and let's just assume that out of the other 31 teams in the league, 15 of them are interested in Jamal Adams. Now the Jets are desperate. Now there's no leverage. Now the teams that are looking to potentially trade for Jamal Adams have leverage. So now there's not going to be it's not going to be an attractive offer that potentially could come to the table for the Jets. If Jamal Adams is that unhappy, it would, and he wants to find another home, it would have been more advantageous for him to keep this in-house. Say what you need to say, but keep it in-house, because now what happens? Teams are like, oh man, there's no way the Jets want that cancer in their locker room. So instead of a team coming in and maybe offering like a first and a third or a first and a player for Jamal Adams to the Jets, they know that the Jets are desperate. Jets have lost all leverage. Curious if David Cantor agrees or disagrees with me. When we get back, I will share with you, you know, because I am a gambling woman. Whenever anything like this comes up, I always go online and I like to see, you know, what's out there right now. Jets win total over under. What are their chances of making the playoffs? How does the AF East panning out? What do I expect from that division? I will share those numbers for you and I will take your calls. You're curious. I'd love to hear from you your thoughts on all that is unfolding with Jamal Adams and this Jets organization. I would imagine that Jets fans are really, really disappointed in it. But, you know, do you feel that based on the comments that Jamal Adams has communicated in the past, again, 24 to 48 hours, is it time to let that go? And what would you be, as a Jets fan, what are you willing to accept in exchange for Jamal Adams leaving the organization? Because I'm telling you, him airing the dirty laundry does not benefit anyone, does not benefit him, and does not benefit the Jets. Because now Jets have lost all leverage with the other 31, how many number of those teams are interested in Jamal Adams.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, good friend and one of the best agents out there in the NFL, and that is David Cantor, joins us. David, hi.
Pay the man.
Pay the man. spoken like a true agent, David.
I mean, but you know, it's just really easy. Teams screw it up all the time. Players don't really screw it up, right? They're out there risking their lives. They're out there risking their bodies. They're out there risking their health now with the new COVID protocols, as are the frontline workers and unfortunately the teachers and everyone else. And players are no more special than any other person, and nobody else is worth more than anyone else. But we're talking about Jamal Adams and the Jets. Just pay him. It's pretty easy. Like, come to a number, figure it out. You know that he's valuable. You know he's probably the best player on your roster, and take care of him. That's all he wants, right? I'm only going by what he said and what's been out there and what I kind of have heard for months and months and months. He feels upset because promises were made And those promises have not been fulfilled. Whether they're not negotiating in good faith, I don't know. Whether or not they have a lower price point on him and his representatives have a much higher one, I don't know. But there's usually a way to resolve these things with players. And it's get a fair, get a real, get a reasonable deal negotiated. And if and this is the truth. If his people can't get it done, he needs different people. And if he can't stop putting out dirty laundry, then the team needs to move on. It's kind of those are the two simple ways to resolve things, right? He's already said he's going to show up. He's already said he's going to be a good citizen. He's already said he's going to be a good teammate. So deal with it and let him play it out and then move on or franchise tag him with a different cap structure and different cap system or get him done, get a deal done. Chris Jones, a perfect example. The Chiefs were never negotiating. The Chiefs were never doing a deal. The Chiefs were never paying him. The Chiefs were never taking care of him. He even said, I'm probably going to have to sit out this whole year. I don't want to play on the franchise tag. And then 24 hours before the deadline, boom, Chris Jones is getting a multi-year deal done with the Chiefs. DeMarcus Lawrence, my client. The Cowboys franchise tag us. We play it out. They franchise tag us again. Everyone, oh my God, the Cowboys don't know what they're doing. Oh my God, David Kanter doesn't know what he's doing. Oh my God, DeMarcus Lawrence is never going to be a Cowboy long term. 24 hours later, boom, a deal's done. So it's not hard to do deals. It's not hard to meet and get people treated fairly and get people rewarded for their production and their productivity and to keep the best players on your organization for a long term. That's the way champions are built.
David, your thoughts on Joe D. I knew him, you know, and not well. I'm not going to pretend that, you know, we went out for drinks or what have you. But like, you know, my 4 years in Baltimore, you know, he was a scout under Ozzie. And I know that there was a lot of respect for him. Your thoughts on him as a general manager. Do you have faith that he'll make the right decisions for the Jets?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And by the way, that may be the hindrance there. The historical components of what he learned with the Ravens in the Ozzie era, especially more so than the Eric DaCosta era, which is only a year, year and a half, 2 years long, is that if you have a great player, you can take care of him if the numbers work, right? But if not, you've got to be willing to let them leave and move on and keep building and keep drafting well. And so that may be, and again, I haven't asked Joe about it. I mean, I think Joe's a very, very bright guy. I think Joe's going to be a great general manager for the organization. I really do believe that. And I see the articles, I read the articles, you know, that I heard what Rich said. I know what Manish says, you know, and I know both of those men, and I think they're very good at their jobs reporting the information as it's given to them. But I don't know if attacking every single person in the organization is the way you get a deal done. If you're Jamal Adams, I would not approve that tact if I was representing him, but I'm not representing him. I would say a lot of times the way to get paid in this league is to just be quiet and let us do what we do as agents and as teams. And usually you come out on the other side very, very happy. I always tell players, you have to love the contract the minute you sign it and be able to live with it when it's expiring, because there's no rhyme or reason for a team having to renegotiate it. So to get back to your original question, I do think Joe has a plan. I do think that Jamal Adams is likely a long-term part of that plan. I don't see letting great football players, and Jamal Adams is a great football player, walk out of the building. I really don't. I just don't see how it makes sense. I don't see how it fits. I represent coaches on the New York Jets, specifically a coach who coaches that position group with the New York Jets. And to be honest with you, I don't see Jamal Adams not being a Jet long term. I don't think a trade makes sense. The draft has already passed. You're going to be getting a lot of the unknown, and Jamal Adams is a known entity and a proven all-pro in this league.
Do you mind if we take a quick break? Because there's so much more I want to dive into with you, especially with the NFL and NFLPA negotiations. Is that cool? You can like take a potty break, maybe go get a beer, and we'll be back.
Still got to get my workout in. Go,
is
go,
that cool?
go.
Okay, all right. Anita Marks with you. We'll get back. I want you to marinate in this as well, David, and that is, A, do you feel, so don't answer, just marinate. A, do you feel that, you know, based on, keep in mind, this wasn't just, you know, him coming out and ripping Joe D. He came out, he ripped Adam Gase. He ripped Woody Johnson. So it was like, it was like full blown. He went after everyone. Could this, wait. Could this fence be mended? That's the first question I'm going to have for you when we get back. Also, you know, what does this do for leverage? Does it hurt the leverage for the Jets if, in fact, they do end up trading him? What offers could come to the table knowing that they have a disgruntled player in-house? So marinate in that. We'll dive into that, and we'll dive into the NFL-NFLPA stuff. Anita Marks with you, David Cantor as well, here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
So you've had time to you've had time to marinate. So first and foremost, you know, could this fence be mended, considering all that's been said the last 48 hours?
Absolutely. Every fence can be mended with a new contract. Money talks. This is a negotiation, right? Like, if I don't, I'd never, ever, ever have been in the room with Jamal Adams. So I don't know him specifically. So I could only talk about the many negotiations I've had that always look darkest and always look like they're going to walk away and always look like this is the final offer. There's no such thing in the NFL. There's no such thing in the real world either. I mean, the final offers are offers to get you to give final negotiating points. And so what I would say to the Jets, and I'm happy to say this to them if they ask my opinion, and to Mr. Adams if he's thinking about new representation, is there's always a fence to be mended. There's always a deal to be done that makes sense. Maybe instead of getting the 5-year, $100 million deal that allegedly is what he wants or the big numbers that are out there, maybe there's a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal. And obviously COVID-19 and the loss of revenue to the league and the new salary cap rules and enforcements and things like that might change his stance. Or maybe there's a team that's willing to pay him significant money and is willing to get the Jets a fair offer that the Jets are willing to take. But there's definitely always a way out of it. And there's always a way to rectify a bad relationship in the football business. It's okay. Just business. That's okay. What everyone, fans listening, understand. It's just business. Not personal. Not personal towards anyone, including the people that he may have said negative things about. They're big boys. They can handle it. They've got the title and the job. And when you have the title and the job, you've got to be able to handle criticism from everyone.
With that being said, because this dirty laundry is being aired, does this hurt the Jets in regard to leverage if they so choose to try to make a deal with a team? Like, are teams now sitting back and going, ha, 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 oh, boy. If we offer them X as opposed to Y, they'll take it because, you know, it'll be just that tempting and they can get this guy out of their hair. Do you think any teams are thinking about that, David?
I can only go off of my conversations with owners and general managers this past week. And I will tell you that up until the phone call yesterday, I have never, ever talked to so many people who had absolutely no idea what was going on with the negotiations between the owners at Management Council and the Players Association. And literally up until 1:30 yesterday, when they got all the new rules and regulations and Andy Reid was on the call, et cetera, you had a bunch of people. And I mean, the most I've ever seen in the dark. And I'm talking more than half the league that I spoke to in the last week alone was completely clueless as to what was happening, what was going on, what are the protocols, what can they do and can't do, when can they start, when can they open, who can they test. We don't even know as of today if they can bring in street free agents and work those guys out. Can you bring in a guy that needs a physical that was injured last year but is still not under contract, things like that. So this is a literal every moment, every second, new information's coming out. Now we're hearing about the Pro Bowl. Now you're hearing about players can be fined for leaving the building, et cetera, Anita. So I would think that Jamal Adams, at least for today or for maybe the first week of training camp, is probably at the back of everyone's minds. I think for right now, we're all trying to adjust on the fly, get our guys into camp, keep everyone healthy, right? Keep as many positive tests down as much as possible. And that's for the whole country, not just for the NFL. And get back to our sport. Now, once teams are in the building and they see their guys moving around on the field, guys are going to obviously pull muscles because they haven't been in programs. Guys are going to get hurt because football is a 100% injury sport. And obviously, teams need to adjust on the fly. Maybe there are general managers out there that will think that the Jets are weak or that they can make a phony type offer that will get them a great player. I just don't think there's many men in the NFL that believe you could do that to Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas will not be taken for a fool. And there is no chance in my mind that if there is a trade to be done, and I don't even know that the Jets would be willing to trade trade Jamal Adams, but I would be very, very shocked if you could just put up like a fourth and a seventh round pick and walk away with a player of his caliber, even if you were willing to pay him big money. I just don't see the Jets organization and the hierarchy that's there. They have a lot of very strong men in that organization, in their front office. Even before Joe, there was a lot of great people in that building. I would be very, very shocked that they would accept kind of a fluff deal or a phony deal just to get a guy out of the building.
Again, David Kantor, NFL agent, joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. I know we only have you for a few more minutes, so let's dive into the NFLPA negotiations. One thing that stood out to me, which I'm going to find this fascinating, is A, and I guess obviously this is a positive, that COVID will now be considered a football injury if a negative test result is significant for the player when they report. That's number one. But number two, which now this blows, a team could combat that if they prove irresponsibility. Define irresponsibility. And how are you going to prove irresponsibility?
Yeah,
that's going to get messy. That's going to get messy, dude.
There is definitely going to be grievances next year. You have the one thing that I will say I'm tremendously disappointed in, and again, I haven't seen all the language. Again, we haven't seen documentation other than some memos that just came out earlier this morning. We did not see this. Last night we were on an extremely long NFLPA call where the same question was asked at least seven times in seven different ways, but it was the same question. So the fact that teams can now void future guarantees in contracts if a player tests positive after engaging in prohibited activities is very, very, very open to interpretation.
Yep.
And I will be willing to bet my 25 years as an agent that there will be a grievance next year or the following year based on a team voiding someone's guarantees because a guy went to pick up food at a bar and then tested positive after going to that bar. And so I just sent this text message to every one of my clients. I advise highly that you should eliminate any posting on social media so that teams can track you at any point in time on anywhere you and your family are going. You can be fined for forfeiture of future guarantees if you don't stay strict to the protocols. And I would suggest you lock yourself and your family down from August 1st until the season ends. That's literally my text message to every single client I represent in the NFL.
Wow.
Sacrifices have to be made, and let's hope it just saves some more lives. Let's hope we can flatten the curve and we can all, you know, get out of this and get back to some type of normalcy eventually. But we still seem very far away from that, don't we?
So that's an understatement. You know, everybody up here, you know, you're in Miami. I'm up here in the Northeast. Everybody like everyone up here is anticipating a second wave. It's not if, it's going to happen. We need to buckle down. We need to start preparing for it. We need to start planning for it. We need to get ahead of it because we know it's coming. Like that's where the rest of the country is. Where the rest of the country is, I don't need to wear a mask. We're, you know, at least, you know, and God bless, like I'll be honest with you, David. I feel blessed that I live up here in the Northeast. I feel like, you know, the government up here gets it. People get it. People are wearing masks. and they're smart about it up here. And, you know, so, but let me ask you this. You just said you just sent that text to your clients. I don't want, I would never ask you for names, but out of all your clients, give me a percentage of how many you think are going to take that text message and listen to it and abide by it and follow that, follow your guidance. What would you say
over
the percentage 90%. Of
your... Yeah, we don't represent dumb guys. I just won't do it. Like you remember me from when I first started in the business and I had partners and people that screwed me over and stole a lot of players and a lot of money from me. And once I decided to do it, and so your listeners are clear, I'm the only agent. I'm on my own. I own the company. You know, obviously I have Ness and Brian and some staff. Brandon Spikes is part of our company now too. Will Davis is part of our company, former players. But you know, the buck sort of stops with me. And so we just won't represent bad dudes. If you're not going to listen, if you're not going to be a professional, if you're not going to conduct yourself and with respect, you're tarnishing DEC management and David Cantor as much as your own name. So I will tell you this. I'm willing to bet 98% of my guys will 100% adhere to that.
Well,
it's going to be tough, listen. But every day is tough, right?
For sure.
Every day is Groundhog Day. It's brutal. So I think that if players are smart and they want to keep getting paid and they want to stay healthy, right? Like, let's be honest. This is bigger than money. This is life or death. I do really believe that we can have football. We can have it in a safe environment if guys follow the protocols and stay strict with them.
David, again, thank you so much for your time on this Saturday afternoon. I so appreciate it. God bless you and your family, and we'll talk soon.
And same to everyone listening. Thank you for having me, as always.
You got it. David Cantor joining us. We'll get your calls next as we kick off our second hour. Jay and Tyrone, I see you guys. I promise you will be first up. 800-919-3776. A lot to digest. How about that? I tell you, because it goes one step further. Not just teams could combat in regard to a player's salary for the season. They could not guarantee, take away the guaranteed money from a player if a player does not act responsibly. But let's define that. What is acting responsibly? We can sit here and we can assume, but we need some guidelines, don't we? Players are already arriving to camps, and those guidelines really aren't set right now or have not been shared. It's amazing, isn't it? Can we just, let's marinate in this as we take a break, because you just heard David Cantor. Andy Reid, all these coaches, all these GMs were on this call last night. Nobody knows what the heck's going on. This is a multi-billion dollar company, organization. And those that are going to be responsible for guiding men through this process, through this season, through this experience, through this unknown, uncharted territory, have no clue what the hell's going on right now.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Connor Rogers joins us from Bleacher Report. You see him all over Bleacher Report. Connor, I booked you for the show to talk about Jamal Adams and what's going on with the Jets, but a little birdie just told me you're a huge Knicks fan. And news just broke. They've hired Tim Thibodeau. So want to get your initial reaction. What do you think?
Oh, Anita, it's been a long, I think, two decades now, we could say, with the Knicks. So I'm never too high ever, and often, honestly, very low. But I was telling Ty, who does a great job producing so many different shows, including yours, that it's not Jason Kidd. So that's a good start for us as Knicks fans.
Yeah, I'm really curious. Again, I was up pretty late last night. I'm watching. There's a great, by the way, there's a great Netflix series that just hit. And God, now the name escapes me. Something Fear. It's about the mob in New York City, in like the 70s and 80s, and how it ran the city. It's a 3-part documentary series. Anyway, I was up at like 1 o'clock in the morning watching it and prepping in bed. And I just, everything I was reading was Jason Kidd, Jason Kidd, Jason Kidd, Jason Kidd. When it comes to the Knicks. And then now this breaks. right? Like, deal's done. Thibodeau's going to be it the next 5 years. So I was curious, like, you know, oh, that's what it is. Oh, have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it, Ty? Fierce. Oh, you're just, Ty's just talking in my ear. I don't know why you do that. So Ty was just talking in my ear. It's called Fear City. It's a new documentary that's out on Netflix. It's awesome. But anyway, again, before we get to Jamal and the Jets, here's the thing. In the years, I've been here for a little over 10 years now, and I just feel like when it comes to the Knicks, it's wash, rinse, and repeat. And because of that, it sets the franchise back. And you know that. As a Knicks fan, you would know that. I just, like, are you confident in regard to the powers that be now and the men that have been hired? A, are you confident that they're on the right track? And B, do you still have the patience realizing that this is going to be a rebuild? Like, you know, Giannis isn't going to swoop in here next year and save the franchise. Like, are you cool with that as a Knicks fan?
I think, Anita, at this point, any Knicks fan will tell you that they're not confident at all as long as, you know, Jim Dolan is associated with the franchise and is, you know, the top of the franchise. I think that is such a stain in the NBA where, number one, it's hurt them in regards to trying to lure. NBA is a free agency game, right? It's sure, you could draft well, just not a lot of teams can build a roster entirely from drafting, and we have seen the Knicks, you know, fail at that as well, and hopefully they start to do better at that, but it starts with the ownership, and I think as long as that's a problem, no matter what changes the Knicks make in the front office with the coaching staff, it's hard to ultimately believe this is the time, because you said it perfectly that it's, you know, wash, rinse, repeat of, honestly, failure.
Pretty much what it's about. Hopefully they're on the right track. I really do. I really do hope they are. Again, Connor Rogers joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Covers the NFL, Giants, Jets, all things NFL. Does a great job at Bleacher Report. Has a podcast out as well. What is the name of the podcast again?
Stick to Football. And we are back the first
Stick
week
to
of
football.
August. So very
That's right.
timely.
Right? Can you believe it? Somebody pinch me. It's just, it's unbelievable that, you know, guys are already arriving into camp. But let's dive into the Jamal Adams situation, and you know, the last 48 hours from criticizing ownership, head coach, as well as general manager. What are you hearing? Because we've had you on the show before where you've shared with us things that you're hearing from front office people as to,
absolutely,
you know, is Jamal Adams, is his heart really bleed green? Does he really want to be here? What are you hearing anything else in regard from the front office in regard to the situation with Jamal?
Well, I think there's frustration, right? I think the front office, this is no secret, they are very upset with how Jamal has taken this to social media. And on Jamal's side, it feels like that's the leverage he has, right? It being a distraction, it is the leverage he has to get a new deal done, because he still has another year left on his rookie deal, the fifth-year option, which is already set in stone. And then if it ever got that far, the Jets have the leverage because of the collective bargaining agreement that the players and the league agreed to, that they could franchise tag him twice. So you're looking at 4 years of control. So for Jamal Adams, and Anita, if he doesn't show up to camp, that costs him about $40,000 a day. So when you look at it, that's just not an option on the table right now. So he just doesn't have a lot of leverage, but understandably, he's very frustrated because he feels like, and if you read the Daily News this week, he feels like that he was told there would be discussions about a new contract, and there hasn't been. And he's right to be frustrated by the lack of discussions. On the side of the Jets, you look at this right now, they're looking at it, and they don't feel that they should make him the highest-paid player on the team, which would eclipse $17 million a year that C.J. Mosley makes right now. I mean, let's call it like it is, Anita. The highest-paid safety in the league right now makes $14.6 million a year. So you're not talking about resetting the market for the safety position. That would be $15 million, maybe $16 million. You're talking about in the 17 plus range, probably 18 to 20 million a year for Jamal Adams. The Jets, maybe they would do that next offseason, but they feel like after 3 years, they don't want to do that right now. So both sides have their fair arguments in this, but absolutely, both sides are very upset. Jamal Adams has made it very clear that he's upset, but like I reported last week, he's still going to show up to training camp. I think the question now turns to, Anita, how much will Jamal Adams do when he does arrive on time at Jets training camp?
Very, very interesting. And thank you for clarifying, because I wasn't, I thought it was in the $18 million range, but it's 14.6, the highest paid. And he plays for the Bears, right? His name escapes me.
Eddie Jackson. Yep. Eddie
Jackson.
Go.
There you go. So we're talking $15 million. Listen, I had David Cantor on my show earlier today, and he said, just pay the dude. He's your best player on the roster. So pay him. Just pay him. Just pay him.
Yeah, and listen, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think the problem, as you highlighted, we're pretty sure that Jamal Adams just might not want to be with the Jets anymore. But now there's rumors on both sides, right? Now you have the rumors that the Jets will not trade him. I'm hearing that that's not the case. The Jets will move him. They just won't give him away. It needs to be a first-round pick or some kind of premium player. You're talking about an above-average player at a position of need for the Jets. Offensive line is still included in that, even after this offseason. Wide receiver, pass rusher, cornerback, things like that. So everything is on the table here that could happen in the next week, or this could drag out, honestly, another couple of months.
No denying that. You know, my thing is, and Connor, curious, and I posed this for David earlier, and that is, you know, because Jamal is airing this dirty laundry, I don't think it does either side any good, because now teams are like, oh, we don't need a player that's like that outspoken, who's going to air dirty laundry like that. And then other teams, I would imagine, are looking at the Jets and going, oh, that's a drama. You know, they probably want him out. So we can probably offer something less than we anticipated and still get him, because I would imagine that, you know, they don't want that cancer in their locker room.
That's exactly right, Anita. And you make a great point. When you look at this, this had gotten bad, right? If you had me on the show 5 days ago before the Daily News report dropped out, this, you would sit here and go, wow, is this repairable? Now, after that report, where, sure, there are some really scathing quotes in there about Adam Gase, but we've heard bits and pieces about, you know, problems with Gase and players going all the way back to Miami. The problem with that piece is he eviscerated Joe Douglas, the GM of the Jets. And what you have to realize there, whether Joe Douglas mishandled this or not, and I am on the side that ownership is more often than not the problem with the New York Jets. Joe Douglas is going to be handcuffed by ownership, which is just terrible, but it's how it's gone for every front office executive with this team for quite some time working under the Johnsons. The problem in all of this is, and you know this, Joe Douglas is a very highly respected person around the NFL. A lot of other executives read that article and go, wow, the things that Jamal Adams said about Joe Douglas, we don't know if we can have him here, because what if we face adversity here? What if we have a down year where things go wrong for us? Is he going to be this upset with coaches and staff and things like that, on top of having to pay him $17, $18 million a year? So Jamal Adams is a great player, and a great player that deserves his payday. And I think a lot of Jets fans want to see that with the New York Jets. But this has reached a point where there are so many problems across the board from both sides being guilty. Jamal Adams' side, the Jets' side, from ownership to the front office to the coaching staff, where this is the perfect storm of an absolute pre-training camp and soon-to-be actual training camp mess.
It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Connor, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I know spent a lot of your time talking about the Knicks, but with the news breaking that Tom Thibodeau is now the new head coach, expected to be for the next 5 years, who knows if not more, and you being a Knicks fan, I thought it would be a fun discussion. So I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Connor.
Absolutely, Anita. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks so much for having me on.
You got it.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.